Thursday, June 7th, 2018. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. Hey, if you are tired of the same old sports talk, all the arguments and all the callers that are yelling into their phones and they have to be told again and again, gotta turn your radio down, please, then you're going to like it more here because we try to look at the world of sports without all of the emotion. Try to take some of that out of it. Just look at things logically. We try not to take any of it too seriously because at the end of the day, it's just sports, right? We don't have to get all crazy and all wrapped up emotionally in it. We just like to laugh at it because a lot of it is actually pretty funny when you look at it that way. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. Slowly but surely, we are making our way to another weekend. Had some interesting things going on in the world of sports yesterday. Got to talk about a number of those things. If you'd like to contact the show, tell us what is on your mind. We would love to hear from you. You can hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You might have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you have a Daily Dose top five that you are like, that would be a great top five. But if you never send it to us, then we can never do it. So you might have to actually send it to us. Maybe you just have some feedback for the show. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you're thinking about popping that question. You know the question I mean. Can I get a raise? That's the toughest question you're going to be asking in your life. Boss, can you please give me a raise? Because unlike the other question you might have been thinking about, this one, they might say no, and that is going to be dreadful, dreadful news. So if you need a little advice on some subjects like that, hit us up. We would love to hear from you. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories coming out today we want to talk about. We've got to discuss that NBA Finals game that took place last night. You know, NFL mini camps are opening. Training camp, not that far off. We talked about that this week. And we all know what these things mean, right? Yeah, they mostly mean season-ending injuries. We're going to discuss that just a little bit today. And as we do on most Thursdays, we will have a few sports media overreactions of the week because it seems like every single week we are being told things by the sports media. On Thursdays, we like to kind of take a look back at a week or so of sports media takes and see if there's anything out there that we're being fed as a true story, we're being fed as a legitimate sports story, and just kind of see if it makes any sense. Spoiler alert, it rarely does, but we do like to do that on Thursday. Let's jump right into that game last night as the Golden State Warriors go to Cleveland for game three of the NBA Finals against the Cavaliers up 2-0. And right off the bat, the Cavaliers come out aggressive. They come out shooting the ball pretty well. They have a 10-point lead very early. We saw the game getting a little bit chippy, getting a little bit physical early as Draymond Green and Tristan Thompson get tangled up early. We've got the double technical. Now, I understand the double technical. I do. But honestly, we've talked about this on the Daily Dose. NBA players don't fight. I know the double technical is supposed to be a deterrent, and it does seem to calm guys down, but we haven't seen a real fight in the NBA in like 20 years. So you can call the double technical, I guess. Were these two really going to fight? No. If they really wanted to fight, if they really wanted to, they could fight at any time. I know we keep seeing Draymond talking, pushing and shoving, getting in Tristan's face. Tristan keeps saying, hey, meet me out by the slide. We'll really go at it if you go outside in the playground with me. Can a ref just step in and say, you know what? Enough nonsense. You two just fight. Come on. Let's go. We're just going to let you fight. Get it out of your system. Get it done. If they did, you know the slap fight that would ensue between these two? NBA players don't fight. Never forget that. Now, we didn't see a great shooting night from three-point range from either team. The Warriors shot just 34% from outside the arc. The Cavaliers shot just 30% from three-point range. But then, with the game on the line, what happens? What always seems to happen with the Warriors? Steph Curry finally hits a three with about 2 minutes and 30 seconds to play to put Golden State up by four. Here is a clip from ABC.
Love on the spin move. Stripped from behind and stolen by Iguodala. Here comes Curry. Fakes, sets, puts up a three. Knocks it down. Steph Curry from downtown. And the lead is four.
And then Kevin Durant, who it seems like is just playing better every single game of this series, he hits a bomb to put the Warriors up six with less than a minute to play. Here's another clip from ABC.
Shot clock at five. Kevin Durant way outside. Delivers! Kevin Durant from downtown. It's a six-point game.
Kevin Durant finishes game three with 43 points, 13 rebounds, and 7 assists. And once again, with the game on the line, the Warriors are the team that just finds ways to make plays. The Cavaliers are the team that just finds ways to make mistakes, to not make plays, to not come up in clutch situations. What else can you say? The Warriors win game three, 110-102. They now have a 3-0 lead, and now a sweep looks very possible. And the way these two teams were coming in, with the Cavaliers scrapping, with a couple of role players, hey, we can dog on the role players in Cleveland all we want to. Look at what happened in game seven against the Celtics. Jeff Green steps up. Kevin Love steps up at times. Sometimes we see Kyle Korver step up. Last night, nobody really stepped up. And the Cavs had things going early. But you know what? The Golden State Warriors don't care. They don't care how much you lead them by in the first half. Because right at the end of the half, they always seem to put together that run. And then comes the third quarter. They hit that switch and the Warriors get rolling. Now, I won't lie. Selfishly, I want the series to go on because I don't want the NBA season to be over already. But it is not looking good. Now, we know no team has ever come back from down 0-3 to win the series. But here is the question that I guess I have right now. What can the Cavs possibly do better? I mean, maybe they just shoot the ball from outside better later in the game, the later the game gets. But I don't know if they're capable of doing that. I don't know if they're capable of making plays with the game on the line, not against the Warriors. I'm just not sure anything they do matters because the Golden State Warriors are just too good. Yeah, this is looking more and more like it could be a sweep, which is a little bit disappointing because I was hoping to have a good tight series. Yeah, it's not going that way right now. You know, we talked a little about this last week, that the state of Delaware was going to be one of the first states to jump all in on sports betting. And get this, on a day without an NBA Finals game, no Stanley Cup Final, when the state of Delaware opened up for sports betting on Tuesday, they made some serious money. People were coming in to bet. According to Vernon Kirk, director of the state lottery, over $300,000 was bet on sports at Delaware's three casinos Tuesday, the first day that the state offered a full menu of betting. Hey, I told you this stuff is coming. We are hearing New Jersey is coming next. We are hearing Mississippi could be coming next. Sports betting is coming and it is here to stay. And we have evidence that apparently big money is going to be spent because we saw already on the first day in Delaware. Sports betting, this isn't going away anytime soon. And one other story I did want to touch on. Michigan men's basketball coach John Beilein says that he is actually going to be staying with the Michigan Wolverines after he did interview last week for the Detroit Pistons job vacancy. You know, Beilein announced his intentions yesterday on Twitter. He said he plans to coach at Michigan during the 2018-2019 season, and according to his tweet, in the years to come. You know, Beilein interviewed with the Pistons last week, and they say that he actually was the top candidate for the job, but he pulled his name off the list and says that he is going to stay at Michigan now. Now, I'm sure there are going to be a number of people that are saying, why wouldn't John Beilein take that? He could jump to the NBA. He could go be the Pistons coach. The Pistons have some pieces. He may be able to have some success there. But you know, John Beilein, he strikes me more as a college coach. He is a teacher. College basketball needs guys like him. You know, at the NBA, there is some teaching that goes on. Don't misunderstand. But the students in the NBA, yeah, they don't listen quite as well as those students are going to at the college level. And with all of the things that we've seen in college basketball this last year, with all of the nonsense and all of the talk about how many of these coaches are dirty, hey, John Beilein is a guy that has always run a good, clean program. I am glad, personally, that he is staying at the college level. College basketball needs guys like John Beilein. He had some success this year. We'll see how he does going forward, but I'm glad to see him staying at the college level. Hey, coming back, NFL OTAs are here. Mandatory minicamps are coming within the next month. Training camp isn't that far off, maybe 2 months away. And what does that mean? Yeah, it means, unfortunately, we are probably going to see some injuries because that's just what happens. Is there any help out there if your favorite team does lose a key player? Yeah, there just might be. Hey, so like I said, NFL mandatory minicamps are starting here in the next week or so. And while most teams have filled out their rosters by now, we know there are going to be injuries. There are going to be players that come in and just can't perform. And when these things happen, teams are forced to go out and dip into the free agent market and take a player here or there that maybe they had been avoiding for whatever reason. Meanwhile, these free agents that are available, they might be sitting out for a number of reasons. Maybe they want too much money, and we know that is always a possibility. Maybe they're injured and they've been trying to get healthy. Maybe their play has just fallen off so much that they haven't been that attractive to teams right now. But if these teams are faced with other injury concerns, then they may say, well, yeah, but he's still better than this guy. When these injuries come, or when these player cuts happen, and they are going to happen, we are going to see injuries, and we are going to see players that just can't do their job. We could easily see a few of these players that I have here get picked up. Let's take a look at some of the NFL free agents that are still available. Because believe it or not, there are still some decent names out there that don't have a job right now. Here's a few guys that your favorite team might be looking at picking up. You know, the Indianapolis Colts, they made that trade with the New York Jets. The Jets wanted to move up in the draft. The Colts wanted to move down. Good move for the Colts, who probably weren't looking at getting a quarterback. We know the Jets wanted to move up and get a quarterback. Great move by the Colts. They got a few picks for the future. They finally did something right in player personnel moves. But not everything is going great in Indianapolis right now. First, of course, is the fact that Andrew Luck still apparently can't beat you in darts. I mean, can Andrew Luck even pick up a football yet? That's not a good sign if you're the Indianapolis Colts. If you're sitting here looking at the upcoming season, you're saying, yeah, you know what? I think we've got a few things going for us. Can your quarterback throw a football? No, he can't do that. Well, I mean, we're hoping. I mean, fingers crossed, right? Maybe our quarterback will eventually be able to throw a football, but right now, nah, not so much. Yeah, it's June. That's starting to become pretty important. But not only do the Colts have a problem on the offensive side of the ball, which we know they do, their second problem is the fact that new head coach Frank Reich, he has decided that the Colts are going to switch and run a 4-3 defense instead of the 3-4. Now that means one of his best defenders, nose tackle Jonathan Hankins, he no longer fits the system. And as a result, the Colts actually cut Jonathan Hankins. He's only 26 years old, and Hankins is a very talented defensive tackle. He can generate pressure on opposing quarterbacks, and he can do it right up the middle. That is one of the most dangerous situations for an opposing quarterback. When they get pressure, not off the edge. On the edge, I can actually step up. I can slide up in the pocket. When they're getting it right up in my face, yeah, we've got a problem. Hankins can also stuff the run pretty effectively when he's healthy too. He hasn't always been healthy, and that could be a concern, but Jonathan Hankins is currently one of the top free agents available. Hey, someone is going to have a chance to pick up a very good player, a very good interior defensive lineman. Jonathan Hankins is still on the market. We'll see how long he lasts. Another guy that's still out there, Kenny Vaccaro, and he's not the player that he used to be, but you could still plug him in. He can cover a slot receiver. He can be a productive player in your defensive backfield. You know, he was actually having a very good year last year for the New Orleans Saints. Again, covering those slot receivers. He was having a solid year, but then he had a groin injury. And that put him on the shelf for 2 games, but you know what these guys are thinking when these things happen. I've got to get back on the field. I have to get back out there. I can't just sit here on the shelf the whole time. I've got to get back on the field as soon as I possibly can. So what does Vaccaro do? He tries to return way too early and he just doesn't have the same explosion that he had prior to the injury. The New Orleans Saints eventually just had to shut him down. They put him on injured reserve. Kenny Vaccaro has been in the league a while. He's only 27. If he's healthy, he can be a productive player. If you need a defensive back to come play in the slot, to come perform in your nickel and dime packages and have some experience there, hey, Kenny Vaccaro could be the guy that you might need. Another guy that's still on the free agent market in the NFL. And he is the big name because the Dallas Cowboys released wide receiver Dez Bryant mostly because it's going to save them $12 million this season alone in cap space. And the Cowboys need all the cash they can get. But Dez Bryant isn't the same player he used to be. He has struggled to return from injuries. He is going to be 30 in November. And we have seen Dez Bryant, since he's had some of these injuries in the last couple of seasons, he is really struggling to create separation from defensive backs. You know, it used to be quarterbacks could drop back, and we saw this so many times with Tony Romo. Go back, throw the ball up, and just let Dez Bryant go get it. Yeah, those days seem to be over. Now we have to see, can Dez Bryant adjust his game to fit what ability he does still have? That's really, really tough for players to do. Because these players never want to admit, yeah, I might have lost a step. Yeah, I might not be the same player that I used to be. Yeah, I can't go do those things that I used to be able to go do. Can Dez Bryant change his mentality? Could he become more of a possession receiver? Could he become maybe a little bit of a blocker in the run game? There's no questions about Dez Bryant's size. There's no questions about his strength. Does he have the same explosion? No, I don't think he does. Can he get separated from these young, physical defensive backs? I'm not sure that he always can. But can he adapt his game? Possibly, if he can get his head on straight. And if you can get a coach and a system to convince Dez Bryant to buy into what you need him to do? Yeah, I think this is more about his mindset. I would think that at some point, we are going to see in the preseason a team lose a wide receiver, and they're going to need Dez Bryant to step in. Is he willing to take the money they're going to give him? Is he willing to adjust his game to fit what it is that they need? We'll see if he can do it. I think it probably will happen. Dez still has some years in him, I think, but he's got to adjust his game. Another guy out there that might have to adjust his expectations, but he is available and he is talented. Sort of, maybe. Because if you have a running back go down, keep in mind that DeMarco Murray is still on the market. Now, I realize DeMarco Murray is coming off probably the worst season of his career. He averaged just 3.6 yards per carry. Also, DeMarco Murray turned 30 this year, so his best days are obviously behind him. We know running backs have a limited number of carries in them. See, I don't know, Marshawn Lynch. But if DeMarco Murray is healthy, he can still play a little, and here's the way he could still have a job in the NFL. Because DeMarco Murray is a legitimate threat coming out of the backfield to catch passes. Is he willing to take a deal with the team as maybe a backup running back in kind of that platoon system and contribute, I don't know, as like a third down back? Because I don't think DeMarco Murray is capable of being an every down back anymore, but could he still find a job taking a role like that? If so, I think we could see DeMarco Murray end up getting a job eventually. Finally, maybe your team has a defensive lineman go down. There might still be some help for you because this guy turns 33 this year. He definitely has lost a step, but Robert Ayers can still play in a system where maybe he's not an every down pass rushing defensive lineman. He can still be very, very effective against the run. Yes, his best pass rushing days are probably behind him, but he could give your team some depth on the defensive line. And he's not like a bad locker room guy or someone that's going to come into the locker room and poison it. That's not really what Robert Ayers does. Now, it is not uncommon to see defensive linemen go down in the preseason. And please don't misunderstand. I hope everyone stays healthy all preseason. I hate the injury aspect of sports. That drives me crazy. I can't stand to see these guys go down with injuries. But it happens. And if it happens to your team, hey, Robert Ayers is an experienced player. He might be able to fill a need at some point if your team would need a defensive lineman. Again, we know with these mini camps starting, these guys don't have to be doing anything to see something pop. These guys can just be out running around doing laps and all of a sudden their knee buckles or their Achilles snaps. We see injuries every single year. It's a painful aspect of sports, especially in the NFL. But there is some help out there. There are some players out there that if they're willing to maybe adjust for what your team needs, yeah, there are some people out there that are still on the market. I know free agency seems like, how long ago is that? You can see right here, there are still some talented players in NFL free agency that are available. It's just a matter of do your needs suit each other, whether or not your team's going to sign them. Hey, coming back, we have to take a look at some of the biggest sports media overreactions of the week. We've got a few things to talk about in the NBA Finals, and we have one odd take in the NHL that we're going to need to discuss when we get back. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, your favorite movies, and your favorite video games. June's Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Colossal because size matters. And June's Loot Crate theme is featuring colossal characters with larger-than-life collectibles, and they have some gear that you just can't get anywhere else. Don't forget, Father's Day is coming. You know that you can find some things for Dad over at Loot Crate. This month's crate features items from Godzilla, Marvel Comics, Ghostbusters, and Jurassic Park. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Always a good idea to save some money. And if you're spending money on Dad, he's going to tell you you should have saved some money anyways. Make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com. Now, as we do on most Thursdays, we like to take a look around the sports world and kind of see what overreactions the sports media world might be trying to jam down our throat.
I don't know what we're yelling about!
A lot of times, we hear some of these things that they're saying, and when you first hear them at the surface, you're like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. But the more you kind of dig into it, you go, yeah, you're just talking to hear yourself talk because none of the things you're saying make any sense. On Thursdays, we like to take a look and see if what we are being told in the sports media is making any sense. And I've got a few things here. They don't make much sense. But let's take a look. Because one of the things that I've heard this week is that in the Stanley Cup Final, the Washington Capitals, of course, are now up 3-1 in this series against the Vegas Golden Knights. And some of the media, and I can't believe that this has even been thrown about, some of the media is saying that the Washington Capitals should just take it easy in Game 5 tonight of the Stanley Cup Final. That way, they can win it all at home in Game 6. Wouldn't that be amazing for the home team Washington fans? And you just know this had to have come from a media person because no one who has ever been involved in sports would look at this and go, oh yeah, that makes total sense. The Capitals, yes, they're up 3-1. But here's something to think about. Ask the Golden State Warriors if being up 3-1 means a 7-game series is over. No! Not only is losing Game 5 not a great option, it is extremely dangerous. Because losing Game 5 on the road basically makes this a 1-game series. Washington would go home in a must-win situation. It would be nice if we would win. It's almost a must-win situation. Because if you lose that game, you have to go back to Vegas for Game 7. They might lose this thing yet if it comes to that. Which really would be the most Washington thing they could possibly do. But if you're the Washington Capitals, you do not take your foot off that accelerator one bit. The Caps seem like they have figured this thing out. They seem like they're the deeper team. It seems like they are the more physical team. If Washington can win this thing in Game 5, you go win this in Game 5. Trust me, none of the players, none of the coaches, nobody who knows anything about sports thinks this would be a good idea to lose Game 5 so that you could win in Game 6. It's always thrown out there by the sports media. It never makes any sense. Another thing coming out in the NBA playoffs, and I know that this took place last week, but one of the things that we keep hearing, and it keeps coming up again and again in the sports media, is that Game 1 of the NBA Finals really came down to that block charge call on LeBron James. And the refs completely changed the game and completely changed the series by overstepping their bounds reviewing the call and then reversing the original call. Understand this. Games don't come down to one play. As much as fans and coaches and players sometimes want to think that they do. Game one of the NBA Finals did not end on that block charge call. There were 50 million other possessions in that game. And as much as I don't like the game stopped, I don't like all the replays. I really don't. I've told you that before. And I really don't like to see a judgment call reversed with replay. That was a judgment call. Hey, human error comes in sometimes. It's a judgment call. That's just what it is. Understand this. The refs did get the call right. Not only did they get the call right, they actually followed the rule as laid out by the NBA. I understand they said, hey, we're going to review this call to see if LeBron James' feet were outside of the circle that he must be outside of to draw a charge. That was the reason they went to the replay. But then by the rule, they can review, okay, was it actually a charge or was it a block? They ruled it correctly and they followed the rule correctly. The Cleveland Cavaliers had all kinds of opportunities to win game one. And that's even after the whole J.R. Smith thing. They could have still won game one in overtime. Hey, that block charge is a tough break. It went against Cleveland. That's a rough, rough break. You don't expect instant replay to come in and flip a judgment call. But the block charge call, it didn't dictate the Cavaliers' defense in overtime. And it sure didn't make the Cavaliers shoot 2 of 9 in overtime. Here's the difference in that game. Down the stretch, in overtime, at the end of regulation, the Golden State Warriors made plays. The Cleveland Cavaliers didn't make plays. You can spin that however you want. That's what that game came down to. Final sports media overreaction of the week that I am hearing is that LeBron James' body language in the Cleveland Cavaliers huddle after J.R. Smith's complete brain fart in game one was not what the Cavaliers needed. LeBron James needed to be encouraging J.R. Smith, who we could all see was taking his huge mistake pretty hard. If you didn't see the game is tied. J.R. Smith gets an offensive rebound, and he is thinking the Cavaliers are up. He basically dribbles the clock out. He could have put the shot right back up and maybe won the game, but he basically dribbled the clock out. The game is going to overtime. As they're walking to the bench, LeBron is kind of yelling at J.R., furious that he didn't know the time and the score. LeBron is gesturing at JR. Why didn't you shoot it? Why didn't you pass it? Why didn't you do something with it? Then, if you haven't seen it, there is actually another camera on the Cavaliers huddle. You can go find it on YouTube or whatever, but there is a camera that stayed on the Cavaliers huddle. And during the time between regulation and overtime, LeBron James is sitting next to JR. He doesn't talk to JR. He doesn't hug JR. He doesn't say, hey, JR, it's okay. Get your head up. We're still going to win this thing. LeBron James is furious. Then Tyronn Lue comes over to address the team, and LeBron asks him if they had any timeouts left. He says yes, and you can see LeBron James wants to hang himself in the shower curtains. Why did we not use our timeout? Hey, LeBron James is mad. We just lost this game. We could have won this game. Was his body language negative towards his coach, towards his team, towards J.R. Smith? Absolutely. And hey, I'm as critical as anyone of LeBron James, but these are legit questions that he had. Why didn't we call timeout? Why doesn't he know the time and score? Why wasn't everyone calling timeout? I wouldn't have hugged J.R. Smith either. He should know these things. Yes, LeBron James was frustrated. I can't blame him for that. I know there's a lot of people kind of saying, well, that's why LeBron James is so hard to play with. He's hard on his teammates. Hey, I'd have been mad too. J.R. Smith should know that stuff. That's absolutely ludicrous that he didn't know what was going on in that game. I understand why LeBron James was upset. Having said that, I've watched the replay a few times, and let's just be clear about one specific thing. LeBron James didn't call timeout either. I'm just throwing that out there, and I'm sure maybe he was under the impression they didn't have any timeouts left. They did have one left. I don't know what it was, but LeBron James didn't call one either. So we can sit there and say, J.R. Smith should have been more aware of time and score. Hey, I didn't see anyone else signaling for a timeout, and I didn't see LeBron James signaling for a timeout either. This is on all of them. Again, the Cavaliers didn't get it done down the stretch in game one, and it is probably going to come back and haunt him. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be taking a look at the latest sports news and stories. We will have our preview of the weekend in sports. Plus, as we do every Friday, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to tune in for that. I say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, and the suggestions. Thank you so much for sharing the show. It is very, very appreciated. I say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.